Nobody cares about car stuff. All right. Does anybody here care about car stuff? We don't know.
No.
I like car stuff. Kind of. Not real.
It's okay.
Well versed in it. I'm not like a mechanic or anything. But I know what a wrench is. I could probably identify like
and three, knowing is half the battle. Kinds.
Right. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Space Tomatoes podcast with your hosts, me and that guy. I'm Havoc.
I'm Alex. Hello, I'm that guy. Nice to be here.
It is. It is. So we were kind of right before we do this. Sometimes we like fill the air with us just catching up a little bit, and it's like we should be recording this. But we were talking about, you know, shoes and stuff and running, and then we got into the Cobra conversation from the last episode, which was pretty funny. I wanted to make sure that was, you know, that was put up there in front, you know, like, yeah, I'm a dumbass. So I have a feeling the person that sold it to me was a friend of mine. His name was Darren. And it wouldn't be, I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. I think I was being trolled in some way, but I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so one of the
Did
things...
Did he sell you a lifetime supply of blinker fluid with the car? And a
No, but he did have a good deal on a door stretcher.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't want it.
On the muffler bearings? Guaranteed never to wear out?
No. It had a different system. No muffler bearings needed. well, hey. What I did find out is the reason... is the automatic transmission can't handle apparently the power, right? And something about the way the valves and everything and all this goes. But they do have aftermarket kits for automatic conversions. But it's
that seems like a lot of trouble.
Yeah, people seem to have mixed reviews on them. And I don't know why you would want to do that unless you got a Cobra and it became your daily driver. And then it was like, all right, well, because the clutch isn't super light on that thing. So if you're sitting there driving an hour in traffic each way every day, it could be fun.
Yeah, if you don't like that clutch, I got a big piece of green junk in the backyard I'll introduce you to.
Oh, no thanks.
That thing has a heavy clutch.
Right, like two-footed clutch. You like reaching both legs.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That thing's pretty cool, though.
Cool enough, I guess. Just a money pit.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Then get rid of it.
Yeah, that's a lot of work, too.
Really, it's not that much work. Okay, so for reference for everyone watching, I know what this big green thing is, but what is this big green thing?
It's technically the nomenclature used is a M35A2, a deuce and a half, big army truck thing. Six wheel drive. What?
So when you say deuce, it's not like dropping a deuce.
No. It refers to that it can haul 2.5 tons of cargo off road.
Is that all?
It can probably hold more than that. Five tons on road is what they say. I don't know. I've never had that much in it.
Damn.
Of course, I told the wife, you know, like, hey, let me buy this thing and we can get all kinds of mulch and stuff from Home Depot. She fell for that.
And how much mulch have you gotten with it?
Zero.
Goose egg. Yeah. But it looks cool. It does look really cool. I mean,
I had good intentions, like, you know, I'd like to help her out, but.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I bet you could put a heck of a trailer behind that thing, too.
I don't know. It doesn't go very fast, and the brakes suck, so. I mean, I guess when it does work, like, the brakes are the biggest problem. Because, I don't know if you're familiar with cars. So, it has a single circuit brake system. Normally, vehicles have a dual circuit brake system, which usually breaks up like the front and the back into two separate systems. So if you have a leak, say in the back half, you're still going to have front brakes. Being a single circuit brake system, if you have a leak in the brake system, you have zero brakes.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, you know, get like a 15,000 pound, you know, big thing going down the road that you can't stop is kind of a little scary thought.
Makes it more fun, I think, right?
Yeah.
Woo, here we go.
Dude, I went through the entire brake system. I replaced like everything on there and it was working perfect. Like, I mean, the thing will stop on a dime. And then the next time I get in it, pedal goes right to the floor.
Ooh.
So I'm like, dude, I was just over it. And all the parts are heavy and they're, you know, like kind of expensive and they're, you know, it's old and they're hard to find. I'm just kind of.
They're not that hard.
I've had my fun with it. Ready to move on to
the parts something. Aren't that or hard nothing. To find.
Nothing's probably better.
The from my understanding, from what I've heard from other people that have owned equipment like this, it's not so much that the parts are hard to find, it's that they're already attached to something else and you have to remove them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they do make aftermarket replacement parts. The problem is a lot of them are now made overseas and the quality isn't that great
in China.
So you can buy new parts and they fail either immediately or shortly after being installed, and then you're back to square one.
Yeah, and something about a single circuit brake line and replacing that with cheap crappy Chinese parts that are going to fail on you soon, but we don't know when. Probably not great.
Yeah, I mean, so just imagine driving your pickup down the road and thinking, like, the next time you press the brakes, they might not work, except your pickup truck weighs three times as much as it does.
Yeah. So, no, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
I don't know.
Temu parachute works for anywhere between 3 and 25 openings.
Yeah. I mean, we don't thankfully, know. The thing only does, like, 45, 50 miles an hour. So, like, it's not like you're going like super fast, but still.
Dude, that doesn't matter. It's like it's like a train, right? Oh, it's only going 5 miles an hour. That doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah, you're not going to like stick your foot out and do a Flintstones thing.
No.
It ain't going to happen.
No, and it's going to go through a lot of, you know, regular consumer vehicles before it comes to a stop.
It probably wouldn't even get a dent on it, but it'd probably mangle some cars up.
Well, and with the height of the vehicle, you'd probably be up on top of a number of them.
Probably.
Yeah, bad idea. Bad thing. Is there not a conversion kit that puts it into a dual circuit mode or something?
Sure. Anything's possible.
Well, you don't have $25,000 laying around to fix this thing up?
Yeah, no, I mean, there are guys putting together kits that utilize parts off of like Ford heavy duty vehicles and stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's possible. It just takes money.
Yeah.
Money that I do not have, nor do I wish to invest in something like this.
It's not investing. Hobbies are not investments, mostly. Some can be, but even those aren't investments. You know, like stamp collecting. You can say stamp collecting is an investment, but it's not.
Maybe.
No, it's not.
I don't know. No.
If the market desires what you have, sure, you can make money off of it. But if the market just decides we don't want that anymore, you have stamps. That's what you have. You have invested in paper with sticky stuff. That's it. It's all.
You remember back in the 90s, all those people that invested in Beanie Babies?
I do. Actually,
I mean, they had like stacks of those things, like rooms full of them, totes.
The price did go up on them pretty crazy. And people were like, I'm going to hold on to them. They're going to be worth so much. And then it just tanked. They were like, baby, what? Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine there's like, you know, 12 collectors out there that are like, oh, I just need one more for my set. You know what I mean? But
remember those plates they used to sell? I forget the name of the company, like Franklin Mint or something.
Oh, yeah.
They have like a Wizard of Oz, you know, limited edition collector's plate.
Yeah, the commemorative plates and all that kind of stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Our parents were weird, very, very weird people. They had cabinets full of crap. They're like, look at all these ceramic figurines that I have that I've collected over the last 60 years. And you're like,
well, my parents are still very much around, and they still have cabinets full of crap.
Well, and I say this, and then I look at your background.
Exactly. So like,
we're like, yeah, we're like, yeah, we've got all, I've got this cabinet full of all this digital stuff over the ages. And they're like, yeah, mm-hmm. we've got this cabinet full of, you know, all right. So we're all weird, I guess, in our own little way.
yeah, I guess. Does anyone... the funny thing, like,
go ahead.
No, I've had that conversation with my parents, and you know, they're like, well, this is worth this much. And I'm like, well, sell it. Like, take a trip or something. Like, don't leave it to me, because I have absolutely no interest in it whatsoever. I've already told them, like, half jokingly,
yeah.
that it, when they ever, you know, take that trip to not being alive anymore, that I'm having a big yard sale and I'm going to have like a $5 entry fee with a plastic shopping bag and all you can fill. See you later.
You should actually, those figurines, my grandparents.
Well, they're not figurines. They're like all kinds of other junk, but yeah.
Whatever. Like the ceramic stuff. Some of that can be fairly valuable. Like I took some to an antique shop one time. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I got jacked royally because I had no idea what I had. But I still got $500 for like one figurine.
Oh, yeah. They hosed you then, huh?
I'm sure it was worth more. But, you know, hey, at the time. And so garage sale for $5 or like just take it to an antique place. Like just a real quick trip. Yeah. And if the guy's like, oh, yeah, listen, you know, I'll give you a few $100, take it to a different one. And see what they say.
Fair enough.
Or look it up. You know what I mean?
or I could deal with putting it on Marketplace and dealing with all those Looney Tunes on there.
Baby, no. Auctions. Auctions are great. Here, you take this, you auction it off, I'll take whatever money I get. It's awesome. Mm. You drop it off, done. It's a done deal.
Do they have auction houses around you, like local stuff?
Not for that kind of shit, but yeah. No. You want a tractor or an excavator or an implement or, you know, a hay baler. Yeah, we got auctions for that. But auctions for like that? No. Charlotte probably.
Yeah.
Charlotte probably does.
Yeah. They do around here. My neighbor, like, he finds some weird crap. And I'm like, where did you get that? And he's like, the auction. Auction. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. We do have other auctions out here. that are kind of interesting. So they will do at the auction house once a week. They do a household goods auction. Mm-hmm. And so they get, you know, containers of whatever and blah, blah, blah. And so you'll get like, you know, I don't know, whatever, cleaning supplies for like $2 or something. You get, you know,
all right,
canned goods and stuff like that. And they have another one that's a food auction where they'll auction off food. Local farmer grown mainly, but some of it's, you know, for some of it's, you know, store food and stuff like that, bulk purchases.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But yeah.
Have you seen those stores that sell, like, I guess they're probably like Amazon returns? They got like big pallets of stuff that you dig through.
Yeah.
Like my father-in-law loves going to them things. He's come home with some interesting finds, but it's like cheap. And the one that he goes to, I guess it starts off at like $10, and then the next day it's like $8, and it works its way down. But he goes on like the dollar day. And he actually brought me a couple like cobalt ratchets that he bought for $1.
Nice.
Like they didn't work, but they have a lifetime warranty, you know, at Lowe's. Oh, well, so I brought it back and got new ratchets, yeah.
That's a good deal right there.
Yeah, for $1? Yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah, I had a friend when I was probably early 20s. Late teens, early 20s, they had actually had a business of doing, and I saw the TV, they have a TV show on this, but he had a business, he would go to all the storage units, and the people that like didn't pay their bill, they like lock your storage unit, and then they just do an auction. Like, and people just buy it blind, whatever's in your storage unit is theirs, and they bid on it. And he used to do this, and he'd come up, pretty good, he said. You know, wasn't great, but he said it was kind of cool. He got some really cool stuff out of it, and also, you know, made some money. Not a lot, but made money.
I mean, that sounds interesting to me. I wouldn't mind doing something like that. But then you like you get to store the stuff, you got to list the stuff, you got to market it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it for nothing.
Deal with people.
It's not even really people, because he said usually it's a pretty small crowd. There's like 15, 20 people that typically show up, you know. Unless you're in certain areas, he said more people will come, but most of the time it's pretty light crowd. He said the biggest thing, though, is once you purchase this, you have a set amount of time, whatever it is, to clean that unit out, okay? And while some of these units are, you know, we stored our stuff and we got all these boxes, some of them look like a bomb went off and it's bad, is what he was telling me.
Yeah.
You know, and he's...
And you're responsible for getting rid of it, good, bad, or ugly.
All of it. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and he's like, I've had some really bad times with this. Really bad. Like, you know, had to go down and hire day laborers to come do it for him because he was like, yeah, I can't. I am not going to... I'm not doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. It must be frustrating when you buy something. There's like a bunch of totes and you think it's like good stuff and then it ends up being like 40 years of National Geographic magazines and newspapers or something, right?
Like, some hoarding collection. I have
like a bunch of homemade, you know, like VCR recordings of PBS or like, man, what do I do with this?
Right.
Nobody gonna buy that.
Or someone that was entrepreneurial and you like, you get the thing and you open it up and it's like, you know, 2 million bobbleheads of some obscure figure, and you're like, what am I doing with this?
I saw one, I forget where I watched it, but like they thought they were getting, like there was a bunch of empty firearm cases in there, and they're thinking like,
ooh.
Oh, they didn't know they were empty though. They were just firearm cases, and they're like, man, no, we're going to hit the lottery here, and then, you know, like everyone was empty. Like... Great.
Did you hear about the dude? And I'm just going to throw the info out here because I'm 99% sure I've got the facts right on this, but look it up if you want the reality of the situation. Some dude went and did an auction thing or something, you know, a mill surplus auction or whatever, and bought a large crate, right? Got the thing, took it home, popped this crate open, and the crate is literally full of mil-spec M4s. Full auto M4s.
Did he keep them? No, obviously not if it's reported.
Yeah, you can't. It's illegal. But, I mean, you know, that's kind of one of those ones. Yes, sir, there were 27 guns in that 30-gun crate. I don't know what happened to the others.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, there's some really cool, like, military surplus crap out there that's like ancient, that's just sitting in a crate.
Oh yeah they thought they
have
were
you, just... Have you ever been to a military surplus place? They're not as good as they used to be.
Some are. It depends on where you are, right? I mean, if you go to like a military town, you'll find more like good surplus stuff, typically. Not always, but but yeah, some of them, like the ones we have here, even though we're surrounded by military bases, are kind of, I mean, they're okay. It's kind of cheesy. It's more like walking into an old war museum or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're like, hey, look, I've got this World War II, maybe Vietnam era gas mask. Like, that's pretty cool.
No, I mean, it sometimes the stuff is it's interesting, but it's not valuable. Like I mean, what would you do with a crate of like 500 mirror brackets for a very specific military vehicle that, you know, like I actually found like this place that had like an entire big crate of mirror, like they're just support brackets, a little rod like this for my truck, but like who else would use them? I'm sure they're still sitting there 20 years later. Like, who would buy them?
Yeah, scrap.
I don't know,
scrapper,
I guess.
Yeah. Smelter, maybe a scrapper. Other than that, maybe someone that does forging or something, cheap metal.
Yeah.
But it's...
The paint's probably carcinogenic.
I'm sure, but it's also probably cheap metal, you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm sure. It's made by the cheapest bidder to produce them.
Which then they charge us, we.
Yeah, right.
The folks, probably 50 times what it actually was worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same damn exact thing sold to a consumer, like, you know, $14 sold to government, $1,400, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, no, well, I mean, they used to sell the there's not, I don't know, I'm not really that much into it, but they'd have vehicles and, you know, they'd sell for a couple grand, but it had an original price tag, like $250,000 is what they charged the government for it.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Crazy.
Like, you know what I wouldn't mind having? A tank.
I knew you were going to say tank.
Well, you can put, like, you know, hitch stuff on it so I can use it as a tractor.
Just get a bulldozer. It's much more practical.
Well, I could do that too, probably.
Parts are readily available, usually.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what good is it? You got the big gun on the tank, but you can't get any rounds for it. Kind of useless.
We'll just pull the barrel off and put a potato gun on there. You're shooting potatoes. Dunk.
That's always fun.
So back when we were talking about those figurines and stuff, here's an interesting one. Like, pretty much everyone had, like, a curio cabinet or a china cabinet, I should say, right? And silverware, right? Even just a small set, everyone kind of seemed to always have, like, you know, there was the silverware that came from, you know, generations ago in a box.
Right.
You know what I mean? In a little box.
Yeah, my parents have that too.
Yeah, and china. Nobody does that anymore.
No.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
Do we not like fine china anymore? What happened to all the china? There was a lot of china in circulation. I know, because every house I went into had china in it. Where did it all go?
Yeah, I've been offered several sets that I've refused. Right. Like, I don't know what to do with it.
Where'd it go, though? You don't see it anymore. I haven't seen china in a person's house in, I don't know, a long time. Where'd
it's
it go?
Sitting at the thrift stores waiting for someone to come along and say, that's what I need right there.
It probably is. Think about that. It was so, like, prized. It was like this cherished possession, and now it's just thrift store dirt. That's weird.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah, I bet they melted all the silverware down.
Do you have nice silverware?
No.
Like in a box with the, you know, velvet lining and all that stuff?
No.
No.
No, my parents did. My dad did. But I'm not certain where that ended up running off to. There was a lot of things that ran off, apparently. So
probably spend more time like polishing that stuff than actually using it, I'd imagine.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah. My father was a big fan of dinner parties, and so I got to polish silver.
Nice.
Enough, let's just put it that way, quite enough. And it was always, like, terrible the next time. And, yeah, Emily Post book on manners and etiquette and, you know, how to set, like, a full place setting, you know, full table and stuff like that. Yeah. Usually that was my punishment for doing things that I probably shouldn't have done in retrospect, but it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, hey, what are you going to do as a kid? You just do kid stuff, man. You know, but I'm still, that's just weird. Nobody cares about china anymore. I mean, they care about china, but not china. Right. It goes back to the whole booster seats for 16 and under.
I was just thinking that.
Like, really? Come on now.
I did get the side eye from Mrs. LX when I was talking about the height requirements for use of a booster seat.
She did
not
seem
to appreciate that comment.
Yeah, well, you know, hey. Yeah, yeah.
It was warranted, though.
It probably was. You probably warranted more often than you get it. I know I do.
Anyway, that's that.
So what are you guys going
to
do?
We're not allowed to talk about any fun stuff anymore.
We'll talk about what we want. yeah, whatever. It's just talking about stuff. I'm not, like, you know. So, yeah. Next thing, someone's going to come up with a safety device for rubber bands because people keep snapping themselves with them. They're like, oh, we need a safety device.
It's probably the same reason why we have switches on the seats of tractors that make them turn off when you lean a little too far.
Probably.
Somebody did something sometime.
Although that one I kind of like. I can get up off my seat, right? When the tractor running, doing all that stuff, there's no issue with that. But if you lean in your chair like that, it goes, ah, that's a condition for, you know, a potential rollover. Or, hey, you know, a lot of times I'm out there in the tractor, I'm out and it's summer and I'm out in the sun and it's hot and everything else. I mean, it's not beyond the realm of imagination that, you know, some of these people fall out of their seat, you know, kind of faint, pass out, whatever. And if you do that, it doesn't cut off whatever implement you got behind you. You're about to shake hands or legs with, and it's not going to be good. You know, like that tiller, I can't imagine what would happen if you put your arm in there, but I imagine it wouldn't be pretty.
You'd probably lose an arm, I would guess.
Yeah. So, or the brush hog. Yeah, you're definitely losing a limb there. There's no question about it. It's gone. And not with like a nice sharp mower blade, which, by the way, isn't that sharp, but it's phenomenally sharp compared to a brush hog, which is just a big plate of metal that is...
No, it's just a big hammer. Yeah.
It's a big metal plate. It is sharpened-ish on one end, but it's more like just rounded, a rounded point, if you will. It's just, it's so heavy and it's swinging so fast that, you know, it'll cut through a tree branch that big around. A tree. Just run up over and just ka-chow, bow, bow, just takes it out. So, and your arm is not that strong.
Well, I mean, on the upside, it probably wouldn't hurt immediately. It'd probably take a few seconds.
This is true, yeah. It might even not hurt for like an hour or so as you're in shock, maybe, bleeding out in the field. Never know.
Yeah, I'd like to stay away from those kind of situations.
Same. So I don't mind the seat piece because of the fact that it allows me the freedom to get out of the seat and do stuff like that. If it didn't allow that I would disable. But because it's only, you know, if I, like, here's the arm of my chair, you can't see it, but what I'll do a lot of the times is this. You know, because you can't really, I can't really see behind me, you know? And so when you lean over like that, especially if you're going through a gate or something and you only have like an inch on each side of an implement, tractors, when they touch stuff, the stuff goes away. Okay. like I touched our shed and it knocked out the studs on the inside of the wall, pushed a hole through the wall, and I literally just barely touched it. So you got to be a little bit more cognizant of what you're doing. So anyway, I leaned over yesterday as I was going through the gate to make sure I had enough room, and blah, 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 blah. I was like, damn it. Put in neutral.
Well, I mean, the problem was that your battery was crapped out.
Yeah, no.
You couldn't restart it.
Yeah. So we jumped it. It took a long while to jump it. And then once we got it jumped, we got it emptied out, the bucket emptied, got it out of the yard. And as I was coming through the gate to get out onto the driveway from the backyard, that's where I leaned over to look, and it died on me. And I was like, and then we put in neutral. My wife and I pushed the tractor. That's a good push right there, man. It doesn't like to move. They're heavy, I guess. Big steel things.
I think so.
Yeah. And then we wanted to find a battery, and the battery has a specific form factor, right? And they call it, you know, the battery form, right? And so we end up going
to... Group size,
that's it, yeah. And that's the form factor for the battery to sit in its little area or whatever. So we end up going to O'Reilly Auto Parts, and then we went to AutoZone, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Then we went to Tractor Supply, and then we went to AutoZone, and then we went to Advanced Auto Parts, and then we went to Monroe Hardware, and then we went to Agri Supply, which had a battery, but it wasn't the right one, but it was so close, I was like, we can use this. But the terminals were on the opposite side, and the cables coming out are about this long, number one. So, and then the other thing is it has an overhead shroud. So you tilt the battery out to pull it out. And if the terminals were on the other side of the battery, when you tilted it in, the terminals wouldn't go in under that shroud, I don't think. And if they did, any kind of bumping or anything, you're going to be hitting battery on metal and probably bad.
You know something funny, though? You told me the size of the battery that you were looking for, which was a 24F.
Yes.
Right? You want to hear something funny?
There's like 400 of them right next to you.
Guess what size battery my car takes?
24F.
Exactly.
Dude, no way.
Yep. I thought it sounded familiar, and then I'm like, no, really? Yep. My battery actually took a crap while I was up visiting you 1 year, and I had a little fun finding one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was amazed. I'm like, come on, it can't be that hard to find this freaking battery.
You wouldn't think so. So it's not like an uncommon size. I would think lots of
vehicles
use that.
It's far less common. So if you looked at a regular car battery, right, it's the same basic width, right? I mean, there are bigger and smaller ones, but the same basic width, right? But the depth of this particular form factor is only like 2/3 of the depth of a normal car battery, right? And that's where the problem comes in. Like, I can find all kinds that would work, but they won't fit. And then finding that particular form factor with the terminals on the right freaking side, it's like, come on. We were this close. I'm like, it's like a, you know, quarter of an inch on one side. It's got the amps. It's got all the specs I need. You know, it's just freaking... Dang it. I can't reverse the terminals on that thing.
Batteries are super expensive these days. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Probably like $200, right?
Yeah, like $160, $180.
Yeah.
For a battery that'll last you 2 to 3 years max.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it'll last you 2 to 3 years. They put the warranty on there. You're either going to buy a 1, 2, or 3 year battery. And if you buy a 1 year battery, you have 1 year of life. Two years. No, that warranty, yeah, trust me, they know, right? They're not dumb. They know this 1 year battery will last about 13 months on average. You know, some people are going to get in there and get a prorated little bit of, you know, cash for their next battery. Oh, it died at 11 months. But most of the time, it's going to last about 13, 14 months, somewhere around there, and it's going to die. You get a 2 year battery, you get about month, 2 months after the 2 years as an average, and it's going to die. And 3 year, same thing.
They're out to get you.
It's planned obsolescence, man. And you
what isn't, though?
You have to be able to understand this when you go buy a new car, which I don't recommend anyone does. But when you do, freaking 15, 20 years on the dang battery. Fine.
I don't think it goes that long. Dude, maybe 7.
My Acura was 18 years old before I replaced the battery.
No way.
I swear. Never once had it. All the way up until I was living at this house.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. Well over 15 years for sure. Well over. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So... it's one of those things. And then once I replaced it...
we'll just buy another one of those.
Once I... yeah, right, where do you find one, man? That's the thing. I would. I'd pay $400 for one of those. I would. Because they last, and I don't know why. I wish someone could come on here. You're a mechanic, dude. Tell me why.
There's only a couple manufacturers of batteries, but they make them the different price points.
Specs
different specs for different customers. So, like, I think there's either two or three manufacturers of batteries, and then they slap stickers on them. Like,
yeah, but
Johnson Controls is one, and I don't know what the
other
ones
are. But you can't find the OEM batteries.
Yeah.
They
even
are,
the ones at the dealer aren't the same, I don't think.
Right. They are OEM, you know, branded.
Yeah.
And I get it, that's just branding, but my experience has been they last way longer than the batteries you can go buy as a replacement.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it was only 7 years, that's still over double the time you're going to get from the best battery you can buy.
My experience has been that way with brakes. I don't know why they last so long. Like, the first brakes,
yeah,
and then the next ones are like, you know, like I get 80,000 miles before I do the first brake job, and then like the next one lasts like 20.
30. 25.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
China.
Probably.
Yeah. It's China. Yeah, I think the OEMs actually have, like, you know, they're like, yeah, you know, let's bump this back up. Let's just do that for this one. And these are our OEM-only models. You know what I mean? Don't sell them anywhere else.
Well, I know even Toyota does have, even if you buy your brakes at the dealer, they have a couple different lines. They got, like, the value line. And then the expensive line. But they don't tell you that. Like, they just want to give you the cheap stuff because they think people don't want to pay for the expensive stuff.
Yeah, brakes are...
But it's available.
Brakes are one of those areas where I would say go with, you know, the more expensive stuff, typically.
Mm.
The cheaper stuff, you're going to get brake squeal and heat issues and all kinds of problems.
Dust,
yeah.
Lots of dust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just the brake squeal to me is the most annoying part of that. It really is, dude. That's just, oh, I hate that.
A lot of that has to do with the installation method, or, you know.
Really? It's not just
the technician working on your stuff.
It's not just the cheapest stuff that came out of China.
Oh, no, that has something to do with it, too.
Yeah, but, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
A lot of guys, they just do a pad slap, throw some pads in there, throw a bag on the car.
Yep. That's what most people want, I think. You know, they want to get out of there with the cheapest.
It's cheap.
Yep. Cheapest they can. And what they don't understand is, look, you can sit there and, you know, this is the old, I don't remember the actual adage, but, you know, you can do it, you know, you can sit there and pay for it cheaply, repetitively, or you can pay for it once and get the good stuff.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the cheaper stuff will cost you more money over time.
Usually it will, yeah.
Yep. So,
mm-hmm.
And brakes, kind of one of those things you probably want working at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's Brake Talk 101 today.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be back after this break. We don't take breaks. Okay. Well... Hey, if we did, we'd be back now. You wouldn't even have noticed that we took a break. Maybe. Maybe. Probably would. And to try and figure out how to get right back in the exact same position with my eyeballs in the same place so it didn't go fleek.
I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah. So we got some fencing done yesterday.
Oh, you did. All right.
Yeah. Well, we were going to do...
Barring the tractor issues?
Yeah, we were going to do an area that we've got that we need to restring and repower. And unfortunately, the tractor was necessary for that. I have to brush hog the whole area. So that didn't happen. But we had our top line, one of these, I don't really like them, but there's a bunch of different insulators. Okay, we use electric fence. And so... When you connect electric fence, typically you're going to have T posts and, you know, standard posts, round posts, et cetera, that are made out of wood. Well, electric can't be touching any of that stuff, right? Or it, you know, it'll ground out and you lose power and it's just not the way you want to do it. So, the little insulator basically has plastic, typically, instead of ceramic. Some of them use ceramic, not often. But it has a plastic base that you screw onto a post, and then these metal clips that kind of come off of it. You attach the fence line to these metal clips. Well, that plastic clip had broken, so our top line around our whole front pasture was just kind of sagging. So we basically took that and replaced all that and rewired it into the back pasture and, you know, all that good stuff. And I think today we're going to try and do the other two runs for that. We would have done all of it yesterday, but we spent so much dang time running around trying to find a freaking battery. I just don't understand. How is it that, I mean, like literally, what was the hard part of that? Like nobody has a 24F. Why is that a thing?
Did you Google and do the shopping thing and see if there was one close to you? Did it say nothing?
Nothing close. All online orders.
Wow.
Yeah. Which was weird. I thought the same thing. Did try that though. And we, like I said, we went to multiple places and we looked around and they're like, no, we don't have anything. Nope. So
if you had a manual, it must be, you have a hydrostatic, don't you? You could push start it.
Yeah. I don't think so. Getting that thing rolling at like a tenth of a mile an hour was extremely difficult. And we live kind of in the you know, Piedmont type of region, the Piedmont region-ish of North Carolina. So there's not like a hill. We'd have to go push it to the back of the top of the back pasture.
I don't know that would work anyway, honestly.
Although I could put the tow rope around the bucket and pull the tractor with the truck. But again, it's hydrostatic, so it's not going to do anything. Mm. Can't do that with a manual or an automatic, unfortunately.
When I was a kid, I tried it. I didn't know any better. Didn't work.
I will tell you this.
My lesson.
I am glad that it was just the battery. Because when I was starting, it was doing this. I sent LX a video of this because he's my mechanic friend and he knows mechanic things, maybe, sometimes.
Sometimes.
But anyway, I started it and it was doing this click, 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 click. Click, 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 click. And I was like,
classic battery.
Did I pull teeth off my freaking starter or something? You know what I mean?
Nah.
Like it wasn't quite, it almost sounded like it just wasn't quite catching on the teeth and then it would catch, which I've had happen before. But that was on an old Camaro, I think.
Do you get one of those battery jumper boxes?
No, just jumper cables. No.
They're pretty nice. They're small. They're lightweight now. They get like lithium ion ones. Like, dude, that one I had, like, and when I had a service truck, it was, you know, like it was like a suitcase. The thing weighed like 100 pounds.
Yeah, now they're like this.
You can almost fit it in your back pocket.
Almost, yeah.
Almost.
No, I don't have one of those. That I probably should. I looked at them yesterday. I was looking at them, going, we should probably get one of those, but. You know, you do have to charge them.
Yeah.
So if they're not charged.
I think lithium ion stays for a while, though, before it discharges.
It should. It should. Yeah. It'd probably be a bad thing to have. I have a good little, you know, tire compressor. That's nice. So that probably wouldn't be a bad thing to have in each of the vehicles.
You know what you need to put in your toolkit for that tractor is a couple cans of ether and some matches for when you need to set the bead back on the,
right,
the rim.
Right. I have it. I don't keep it on the tractor, but I have it. It's in the garage.
That's always fun,
and
too.
And a broomstick with a rag tied to the end of it. Because I am not standing next to that thing when it goes.
Oh, come on. It ain't going to hurt you. Yeah. Burn the hair off your arm a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I've seen tires pop before. That seems like a pretty explosive event when I've seen them. We tried it on the tractor when that happened. Didn't work.
You were doing it wrong.
I'm sure. We were being very conservative with our use of the ether. This stuff is insanely flammable, man.
You need to hose it down like you're spraying like a wasp nest with, you know, a can of bug spray. Shh.
Yeah. I'll let you do it next time.
And you get that air on it straight away.
When you come to pick up the puppy, I'll let you do it.
That's all right.
Come on. I'll give you a match.
I mean, I'd show you.
No broomstick for you. You do it with a match.
I'd make my wife do it. Be like, I'll spray. You get the match
over
there.
It's fine. It's fine.
That's how our relationship works.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Here, let me tape your eyebrows real quick. Oh, yeah. It just lit on fire. I mean, it did make a good boof, but then it just was on fire. And I was like, okay, let's not do this.
It'll stop burning when the stuff burns off. Don't take long.
It took a little while.
Mr. Safety. I'm going to call you Mr. Safety.
It took longer than I wanted it to. Those tires are expensive, man. Really expensive.
They are expensive. Really. Everything's expensive.
No, like rear wheel tractor tires, that's a whole level of expense different on tires. Very, very different. Like your car tires, like the most expensive ones still will not, they're not rated to fill them with liquid, okay? And then pressurize them and then drive around on them. These are.
Yeah, the reason number 325, why that military truck was not a good idea, because it has 10 tires.
Oh.
10 large tires.
Oh, yeah. I can't even. What are those, like 250 each?
At least, yeah. Oh. And they're in a weird size that you can't just buy, you know.
Of course.
At the tire store.
Can you not retread those?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
You would think that's
something. And they have tubes in them. They're tube tires. So you got to get the tubes and the flaps, and then they're not technically split rims, but they have a locking rim. They're not the ones that, you know, the Widowmakers or whatever they call them. They're technically not those, but people get afraid of them. Some tire places won't even deal with them.
Yeah. Well, you would think the Army would have made those, you know, retreadable.
Why? They just buy new ones. On your money.
Well, there. Okay. Yeah. There is that. Duh. What was I thinking?
I mean, these vehicles are literally designed to be maintained by an army of free labor and parts.
Yeah.
Free.
It's all free. it's all free. Yeah. You want a prime example of government efficiency. Here it is, right? Have someone put $10,000 on their own money on a credit card, a secured card, and give it to them. Say, here you go. Then give them one with $10,000 on it that you're just giving them, and see how they spend on each of those cards. Government is given the card. It's not their money. They don't care. They don't care. Nope. You know, I mean, it's just the truth, you know. You'll spend your own money a heck of a lot more conservatively and appropriately than you will spend someone else's money.
That's true.
But hey, you know, whatever. Here we are. Life moves on. Money gets spent.
So. Is it a little warmer this week, at least? You going out working outside?
Yeah, it was like I got my coat on and everything yesterday to go work outside. And I'm like, next thing you know, I'm stripped down to just a t-shirt. It was like 61.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
No, t-shirt weather. Not normally. Like when we first come into winter, that is not t-shirt weather. But after being in it for a while, when it goes from 40 up to 60, you're like, oh, this is warm. Especially when the sun's out, you know, you're outside working in it, you know.
Yeah. We usually, my wife has the weather app and monitors the weather of where our various friends live around the United States. And our nice Iowa friends, it's like 6 degrees there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was talking to someone from Wisconsin the other day, and they're like, yesterday actually, and they're like, it's -7 right now. It's supposed to be -20 is our low, but our high gets up to -1. And I was like, wow,
that sounds pleasant.
Yeah. If you're a polar bear.
Like, I wouldn't even want to get out of bed. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's cold. That's really, really brutally cold stuff. hey, man, you know, takes all kinds, right? People love that stuff. Mm. I couldn't live in it. I just don't think I could. I mean, I could. I'd be okay. It's just not my preferred method of chilling.
Not my preferred method.
I like to chill in warm weather, not chill in the freezer.
You were looking at property in Wyoming. What were you thinking?
Yeah, it's not quite that cold in Wyoming.
It got pretty cold there.
Nah, not quite. I mean, it does get cold. It'll spend a long time in the, you know, 15, 20 range, stuff like that. And it will get down into those temps. But Wisconsin's a whole different ballgame, man.
Yeah.
It's freaking cold up there. Really cold.
Our other friend in Michigan, it's pretty cold there too, I guess.
Yeah, and Wyoming's going to be more wind. You know what I mean? You got kind of a high desert thing going on. You're going to have more wind and, you know, stuff like that. And it was a thought. We'll see. I think for now we're kind of like, I like the South. I think we're going to stay in the South.
Me too.
And for now, we're going to stay right where we are. We have no plans at this point to move now. We look, though, every once in a while. So you never know. We'll keep you on your toes.
There you go.
Next year, alpaca. Might be some moves, but it probably won't.
Maybe.
It won't. Nah. Nah, prices are weird right now, and, you know, it's just not a great time to be making a move like that, in my opinion.
I don't think it is.
Yeah. So, we're okay. We're doing well. Having fun. The puppy is all healed up. She's doing well. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Back to playing with her sister.
Yeah. She's back to full routine, having fun. She's a little whirling dervish. Crazy little maniacal two-legged, two-armed beast.
That's right.
Come on now.
I'm still sticking with they got arms and legs.
They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Notice.
You're wrong.
Notice. Okay. Notice this. You see this? Right? That's a hand. You see how it articulates? It is. You see this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you were to hold your foot up and try and do the same thing, you can't. Do you know why? Foot goes on a leg. Hand goes on an arm.
I'll send you some videos of my cat. She does the same exact thing.
Oddly enough, all of the dog's feet look the same. And they are dog's feet. We call them paws. Not hands. They're paws.
So on their front appendages, are those shoulders and elbows? Or do they have two knees and hips?
Well, they have...
Is that a hip?
They have elbows because their arms are their arms. See, you got me.
No, it's not a thing.
No,
I heard
it. It's not a thing.
Yeah, you said it.
Their front appendages, legs, articulate differently.
Mm-hmm.
They do. It's a difference between an elbow and a knee. Which way does your knee bend? Does your elbow bend in the exact same way? No, it does not. It bends the exact opposite way. That's why they're called elbows and knees on dogs. Because of the articulation has nothing to do with arms.
Okay.
You're so silly. You know, just so everyone realizes, this all started with a meme, right? If cats wore pants, how would they wear them? It's like the one's got the pant, like, you know, all on all four legs, right? The other one's got the pants like a human wear, just on the back legs. And so this is where this whole thing started from. It originates from a meme. And now it's this hotly contested thing about whether animals have arms in the front and legs in the back or four legs. And okay, I you know what? They are what you believe they are. That's what they are.
What about monkeys?
Monkeys have arms.
How about rats?
What about them?
What do they have?
Legs.
Are you sure?
I am.
They like eat their little squirrel.
Sure, and they have legs too.
I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. How about raccoons?
Also, legs, but their front appendages are kind of a different one because they do have that articulable thumb.
I don't know, man.
It's okay.
I don't think I can agree with you.
So let's go back to the meme for a second. Okay. Now, in a dog's world, the way they greet each other is,
"Hey, what's going on?"
They do not. They sniff butt. And if you put the pants on the way you're talking about putting the pants on, you've literally destroyed the dog's entire social life. They'll never be able to meet another dog. Ever. Never, ever again. However, if you put them on appropriately, then the dog can meet other dogs. So, once again, even the meme self-proves. It's legs. It's got to be legs, mm-hmm. man. It's all mm-hmm. legs.
mm-hmm. Whatever makes you sleep better at night.
Right. All right. We're going to end this debate here. We're just going to leave it. We're going to have to go get some biologist or something to come in here and definitively answer this question.
There you go.
Like, hey, man, I just need you for like 2 minutes. For what? I can't tell you. You just got to come on. It's just very important. Call up Duke University, find the biology professor.
They probably have nothing better to do, I'm sure.
No, what else are they doing? Yeah, that's funny. It's a good little...
My cheeks are starting to hurt.
Right? It's a good mind exercise. It's kind of like the giraffe, right? If you were leading a giraffe, would you put the leash around the top of the neck or the bottom of the neck? I mean, you don't put it around the bottom of the neck for the dog, right? Put it around the top of the neck. Mm. So which is it? And they do have big necks, right? And they're bigger as they go down further.
They do.
So I kind of think you'd probably put the leash up at the top of the neck.
You would think, maybe, if you can reach it.
Well, apparently they put them in, like, barns, these buildings, and they have a full mm-hmm. second story thing where they can feed them from the second story.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's commonplace or anything. I saw one video, so I can't say that empirically. In this one video I saw, they had this. Okay. But I have to imagine it's the same, right? Otherwise, how do you check in on their heads or whatever, Like, make sure they're in good health or, I don't know.
I probably will never have to worry about that.
Have you ever seen how those things fight?
Mm-mm.
Like the males fight. They do. And those little stubby little horns they have? Little stubby. Yeah. They're cute, actually. But apparently they turn those into like some kind of a flail or something. So they take their neck and they just wham and slam each other. It's pretty interesting. Wow. Yeah. I never thought of giraffes as being, like...
violent? No.
Bruisers, I'll mess you up. I'm a giraffe, man. I always think of them as like the really funny looking thing that just moseys around and eats leaves.
Now you know.
I do.
Don't mess with a giraffe.
They're very violent. Or they can be, apparently.
Hmm.
I don't know. I wonder if they can strike something like our size with their neck.
Probably if they wanted to.
Well, maybe. Well, I don't know.
I'm not going to risk it.
I am not either. I don't like horses, I'm good with. But, animals that are as large as a giraffe, I don't really have any interest in. I don't want to be around them. I'm good. I'll view them from a distance. Yeah. That's a big animal.
I hear those large birds like emus and stuff are pretty mean. Or can be.
Oh, yeah, they can be for sure. Mm. Yeah, and they...
You get ducks. Them things are nasty.
I don't have any ducks.
Geese, sorry.
I have angry ducks. which they're geese, and they are angry.
Yeah.
They are very angry, always very angry. Which is honestly, that's the reason they're there, is to be angry, right? They're just angry. If you're not part of like what lives down there with them, the chickens and the turkeys, and to a lesser extent the dogs and the horses, then they're angry at you. They don't like you. They want to hurt you. That includes us, and we feed them. Although they're not. What are you going to do, little goose?
They try to put on a good show, though.
They do. They do. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. If they get your finger or something, it's gonna hurt, and it's going to tear it up a little bit. But, you know, other than that, if they, you know, grabbed you through jeans or something, you just get a little pinch, basically. It's all right. You just pick them up by their neck, hold them out like this because they flap, and you just kind of look at them and have a little discussion with them. Like, now, did that work out the way you thought it would? Do you think this is a good idea going forward? You know, you have a little discussion with them, and you know, you let them go, and they go running off and leave you alone for a day or two.
I noticed they tend to get their courage up when you turn your back to them.
Oh, yeah. They're little sneak attackers. That's the only time they have their courage up. If you're facing them, they're like, they'll scream at you. You know, honk. You can call that a honk. I'm sorry, but if you ever stood next to, you know, more than one goose or even one goose doing that, that's not a honk. It's screaming. It literally is a very high-pitched, screeching, honking kind of a noise, but it's terrible. But yeah, they if you're looking at them, they don't really want anything to do with you. The second you turn around and start walking away, they get low and they come after you. But they're
not very discreet in their attacks.
They're not like ninjas or anything. They have big goofy ass flat feet that just go flap 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 flap. You can hear them coming like so far away. It's so funny. And you just turn around and they're like, ooh.
Busted.
Like, it wasn't me. I wasn't doing it. It's pretty funny. They're cute, though. They're fun. They're fun to interact with. You know, a little difficult to converse on a phone call when you're down there, though. They are very loud.
I can imagine.
Yeah, they come through. The noise cancellation stuff, whatever it is, doesn't work on them. They have goosey superpowers. Yeah. Sonic superpowers. Just crazy. They are so loud. They really are.
They are pretty loud.
It's like people don't, you know, you don't think about it, right? Because you've heard them before, but you've heard them flying over you at like, you know, they're like 500 feet away, you know. And when you're right next to them, it's insanely loud. It's hard to think with them going. Yeah. But they're cute. Yeah. We lost a hen. Dang it.
No.
Found one wing in the front pasture.
What happened there?
Don't know. Predator. Large predator. Could have
been like a fox, or
it could have been a fox, or maybe a raccoon. Coyote for sure. Could even have been a bobcat. I don't know. We heard one about a month and a half ago. So we haven't seen one on property. I know they're around, but not very common in our area, I don't believe. But it could certainly be. And we did hear one. It's a pretty distinctive cry that they do. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind having one of those for a pet. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bobcat.
I don't know if that sounds fun.
You're an outdoor cat. I don't like indoor cats. We have one, but I'm, and I like him. He's cool and all. I just wouldn't. That's not my thing. That's cats. No. I like dogs. Dogs are cool. Much better. Yeah. I like dogs. I don't know. You know, cats are okay, I guess. I love Domino. He's the best cat in the world.
He is a good
He's
cat.
He's an outside cat. I think that's what gives him even more, like, awesomeness. Just, you're outside. He's always there. He comes up. He loves getting petted. He loves hanging out. You can pick him up, put him over your shoulder, you know. Excuse me. Do all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he loves it. And he stays outside. He likes that too. He like, and it's cool because he's like, he knows this property is his home because he roams all.
I'm sure he does, yeah.
Yeah, he roams all over the property, but doesn't really go past the property much.
Mm.
Every once in a while, he'll go visit our neighbor. But other than that, yeah, he just hangs out on the property. Cool. It's like he knows.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's a cool thing about cats. Outdoor cats, the ones that live outside.
I like our cats.
Oh, I'm sure.
They're mostly okay.
Yeah. And they're cute.
They can be a little demanding when it's time to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
At like 3 a.m.?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And the little bastards adapted. They didn't used to sound like that, apparently.
Mm.
And they figured out that if I mimic the sound of a human baby, people wake up. And they'll give me what I want. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
It's pretty weird. Little rat bastards.
Mm.
Telling you. They're sneaky. You know, even back in the Egyptian days, you see, like, the cats. You have to wonder, you know, what was going on there? What were you doing with those cats? I don't know. Probably companions, but, I mean, they didn't put birds and cats.
Yeah, like they, like, used the... Keep the vermin away from their food supplies?
Maybe. It's possible, but then why would you have pharaohs sitting on thrones and stuff with cats there, too?
Hmm.
Keep the cats off the throne? Or the mice? Maybe. If you know, tell us. Leave us a comment. I don't know. I guess we don't really know anyway, right? It's all guessing. You make educated guesses.
Everything's guessing.
Right? Mm. That's what archaeology is, I think, right? You can get an idea and you can go, well, yeah, this looks like it's this and it was used for this and blah, blah, blah. But you could be way wrong. Totally could.
Probably are.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. You just don't know. I don't know. So what are you guys doing today?
I don't know. Might go visit my in-laws today. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah?
It's a good day for a visit.
Sounds like it. Yeah, hopefully.
Pick some snap peas, sugar snap peas, maybe.
Oh, nice. You guys got a bunch of those, right?
They grow fast. I get a ton of them things.
Yeah. My broccoli is still that tall.
Mm.
It'll be that tall until spring, if it lives. And it probably will.
Yeah.
But as soon as it starts getting warm-ish, the cool thing is we'll have early harvest. Before everyone else is planting, nice. This stuff will come up and we'll have food. So it'll be good.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm.
Might have to make some sweet potatoes tonight.
Mm. That sounds good. I had one last night.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
It was excellent.
Did you bake it, cube it, roast it?
I did. I baked it.
Baked? Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you foil them or do you just slice?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Just wrap it in foil, stick it in the oven.
Yeah. They're pretty tasty.
Put a little butter on it when I take it out, and that's about it.
If someone told me to put them on the grill, like I do normally, like not always, but we bake them too. Or cube them and put them in a pan for roasting something. But someone told me put them on a grill and just give them some slits. And they will come out a little bit more, a little less mushy.
Mm.
A little more like a potato. Potato.
Yeah, I think that's all she does, just poke a couple little holes in them. And wraps them up in foil and sticks it in there. I put it on a tray, though, because they can get juicy.
Yeah, well, and that's where the person that was telling me that was like, yeah, if you do this, they don't get as, you know, they're more firm. They lose some of the moisture out of those slits.
All right.
And they said, don't wrap them. Just put them on the grill. Hmm. And they'll take it. I'm like, okay.
All right.
So I haven't tried it. I want to try it. I'll have to do that and report back. Worth a shot.
Yeah. Yeah,
see how it goes. We also want to try doing some air fryer sweet potato fries. So we'll see. We'll probably big bust, but we'll give it a shot. See what happens.
Yeah, we don't have one of those. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me know.
I will, for sure. Yeah. Sounds like it might be good. We'll see. I like sweet potato fries, but I'm not going to dip them in a crap load of oil and fry them. I'm going to try and air crisp them. We'll see. I don't know. I'm sure someone's done this before. It was probably a good recipe for it, too.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I don't know. That's about all I had to say today. I mean, I'm sure I've got more to say. I'll probably say a lot of things throughout the rest of the day, but as of right now, I'm kind of running out of things to say. Well, probably not, actually. I could just keep talking and rambling, but that's just rambling and stuff, so. What about you?
I'm good.
You good?
I didn't even know what I was going to talk about at all today, but we figured out some stuff, didn't we?
We always do. It's just the thing, right? You just engage in conversation, and here we are. There's always something to talk about, you know?
When in doubt, you get puppies and sweatpants and government oversight.
There you go. There you go. That always brings up something new, right? Speaking of which, have you heard anything back on the puppies yet?
No.
Oh, all right. All right. Have you contacted
them? I'll let you know.
Have you contacted them?
No, she hasn't.
You're just kind of like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right. Ever since we had that first conversation, my stuff is filled with Mal videos. I just keep getting them. Like, here's a Mal video for you. I'm like...
Yeah, no, I'm inundated by... like German Shepherds up for adoption and stuff, which again, I would love to if, you know, I knew that it wasn't going to eat our cat. So, I mean, if somebody has a German Shepherd out there that they're looking for a good home, I don't mind an older dog. I'd be okay with that. No, look who's coming in.
What are you doing?
I saw the curtain open up.
Yeah, you're on the wrong side. Okay.
One moment, please.
Come on, oh boy. Why's it
come on? Yes. Okay, go get your mom. Not yet. All right. I suppose that's probably a good place for me to say, yep.
You're being summoned.
Well, you know, that's just the morning thing. When my puppy comes along in the mornings, she comes running down and she just greets me and I give her big rubs and say good morning and ask her how she slept. She never tells me. I don't know why.
She can give you a high five.
Yeah.
With her hand.
Yeah. She could shake with her leg. All right, everybody, thank you once again for giving us a little bit of your time and hanging out with us. We do appreciate it. Click that subscribe button, do that thing, clicky clicky, give us a like. If you didn't like us, give us a thumbs down, leave a comment, tell us whatever. I don't know. Yeah, the archaeology stuff, throw that in there. What do you think? I don't know. If you got ideas for a topic, ideas for a show, ideas for a guest, throw them in a comment. Ping us. Or you can join our Telegram group and chat with us and talk about that stuff live in real time. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict, Podbean X, as well as on Telegram, where you can get to us by opening a browser and typing in t.me/spacetomatoes, all one word, and that'll take you to Telegram. You can download the app, get on Telegram, chat with us, look at the videos, have them with you, whatever you want to do. And remember, wherever you are, whenever you're watching this, have an amazing day.
See you, everybody. Thanks for stopping by.